Liz Winstead has always looked at life a little differently. As a little girl growing up in Minnesota, she was often upbraided for asking impertinent questions and saying something inappropriate. It served her well when she became a comedian. She's written a book of essays called Liz Free or Die that takes readers through the different chapters of her life, growing up, becoming a comic, helping to create The Daily Show back in 1996, which has since gone on to huge success. But she had a showbiz debut that could have been her last performance.
It is possibly the greatest horror story and the greatest gift that I have received in my career in comedy.
It was Minneapolis in the 1980s. Liz Winstead was hosting the finals of an air guitar contest called The Great Pretenders.
And so I was wearing this big white Madonna ball gown that I got at a thrift store that was kind of ripped up. And behind me was a gigantic video screen to where the performers were waiting, and then the screen would roll up and they would sing. So I'm about to introduce the first act. The screen rolls up, and the dress rolls up in the screen behind me.
Liz Winstead found herself vulnerable and exposed, nude from the waist down, and trapped in the machinery. So she told a joke, then another. Suddenly, the audience was laughing with her, not at her. Some people even thought she'd planned it that way. A career in comedy was launched. Liz Winstead grew up one of five children of conservative Catholic parents, and like a lot of kids, she says she loved her Barbie doll, but Barbie didn't mean impossibly perfect pulchritudinous plastic beauty to young Liz, but something different.
You know, I looked at Barbie as sort of the pinnacle of freedom, where she had her own dream house, she had a car, she had a boyfriend that I could choose when he showed up.
And what he was wearing.
That's exactly right. And so being the youngest of five kids and never getting my voice in anyway, I looked at her as somebody to completely emulate. And I didn't really even notice the crazy, curvy, plastic doll that feminists have come to, you know, take on. And I remember being in college and taking a feminist studies class early on, and Barbie was under assault. I was like, but wait, isn't Barbie a feminist? Like, I completely perceived her as a feminist, even though her feet, she couldn't walk, but she could drive.
How did you find out you were funny?
Well, it's genetic in my family. My father is from Mississippi and a long line of storytellers, and all of my siblings are incredibly gifted at telling stories. And I think for years I knew that I had a funny bone, but stand-up comedy or pursuing comedy as a career never occurred to me, simply because in my coming of age, when I would turn on The Tonight Show, I didn't see any women really on television doing stand-up, unless they were older women like Toni Fields or Joan Rivers. And so I didn't see anyone like me. It was either men in suits talking about what men in suits talk about, or women, if they were older, talking about how much their husbands disappointed them and sort of the level that their boobs had sunk to on their body. That was a very popular thing to talk about for a lot of comedians back in the day. And so it wasn't until I was watching George Carlin one night with a girlfriend of mine, and she said, why don't you try that? And I said, I don't know. Do you think I could? And she said, why not? I wasn't really like a goofball or didn't really tell jokes as a kid. I think more in high school did I realize it's easier to be funny than it is to be angry. Because there's this interesting thing. If you make someone laugh, you have a bond. And so if you can make someone laugh who you disagree with, they have to acknowledge that on some level they like you. And sometimes then you can work things out.
Some of the most moving sections of your book have to do with your father's last days.
Yes.
And you you invent a word that I have grown to admire since reading it, dilarious.
Yes, dilarious. Laughing with or at the expense of someone who is dying. And it is a word that I didn't ever use until my father passed away. My father was this amazing, funny Southern storyteller, and our politics were diametrically opposed. He was a staunch Reagan Republican, and I'm a crazy liberal. And we found this fun detente where we would watch Jeopardy together. Because if we both could answer, what is the Sudetenland, at the same time, then we couldn't call each other dumb. And he always said to me, he said, you know, I raised you kids to have an opinion, and I forgot to tell you it was supposed to be mine. Which is such a brilliant thing. And so about 6 months before he passed away, he sent me this beautiful card. And on the inside, it said, "I love you. You are my favorite. Don't tell the others." And I thought, oh, my God. The problem with the card is that he said on the card, "Don't open this until I'm gone." And finally, when he passed away, we were all sitting in the room, and my mom said, "Oh, your father really was excited to send you cards. I would love to hear what the card said." And I said, "You know, Mom, maybe another time, maybe after the funeral, we can all read the cards." And so she goes, "And I want you to start, Liz." And I was gobsmacked. And so I said, "Okay, the card said, I love you, you're my favorite." And then everyone else chimed in, "Don't tell the others." He had sent the exact same card to all of us and actually planned with my mom so that he could, upon his death, the first thing we would do is laugh and not cry.
Your mother sounds like an extraordinary character.
Yeah. She was one of those mothers who, she was never overtly critical. She was very Minnesota backhanded critical. But she always did support me in a way that was pretty incredible. She would defend me to the death, take my pictures when I was on the TV because they didn't have a VCR, and then show those pictures, or cut out clippings when I was in the paper. If I was like a young comic and I was booked as "and others," it was like Louis Anderson and others, she would cut out "and others," put that in a box. And I think part of it, too, was I grew up with conservative parents in a very progressive community in Minneapolis. And so she would say things to me in her later years in retirement and say, "Well, you know, sometimes at my dinner table at the retirement home, they sit me with the Democrats, and I've said I'd rather sit with the Alzheimer's people." And so yeah, she was quite a character in her own right. Very different sensibility than my dad. But, you know, it was, again, just lucky to have these gifts from these parents who reiterated how much humor was part of us and how important it was to keep it going. Now I feel like I have a legacy that I'm carrying on.
Liz Winstead. Her new collection of essays, Liz Free or Die, speaking from New York. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Scott.